Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to take the opportunity to welcome each of you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday. I'm going to be talking about Israel today. There are so many things that are taking place that are not looking very well for the entirety of the world. We are in the last of the last days. As one gentleman said, the question is, how much longer will they last? There's a lot of sensationalism in the media, even in so-called Christian media. A lot of hyperbole. Men like to ratchet up stuff that for the most part is junk. We have people running around that says Jesus is returning this year. We have people prophesying all kinds of heresy, fallacy, mendacities, which originate from their vain hearts and their vain minds. 2-3 years ago, everybody's talking about COVID, mark of the beast. I never failed to be amazed at how gullible, how vulnerable people are when it comes to their walk with God. I know there's a lot of things being said. There's a lot of things being done. Let me say again, and infuriate some listening to me today, we're not there yet. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say that. But we're not there yet, but we're headed at breakneck speed. We are in a very dangerous, a very tenuous situation. I've said for the last year and a half, between then and the election of 2024, we're in the most dangerous, dangerous time I've ever known as an adult male. This is a unique time. This is a foreordained time. This is a time appointed by God, and people had better awaken. They had better enrich their lives on the Word of God. They need to immerse themselves in prayer every day and cry out to God for His mercy in your life. I'm not in this to be liked. I know a lot of people loathe me, dislike me, blackball me, castigate me, do all they can to hurt me. That's all right. They did that to Jesus. That doesn't bother me. But you've got people who've been saying things for years that none of it's come to pass because it was a fallacy. It was a falsehood. But now we're getting into a very, very dangerous and tenuous situation. I want to go today to Zechariah chapter 12, reading verses 1 through 3. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about it. A cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Verse 1 here in Zechariah 12, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, speaks to Israel's fate, to what's going to happen to them. No nation upon the face of the earth has suffered like Israel. Israel, God made a covenant with a man named Abraham. Actually, Abram. People want to get nitpicked sometimes and say, well, it wasn't Abraham, it was Abram to begin with. Yeah, I know all of that stuff. But God made covenant with a man. And that covenant was signified by circumcision. He was demonstrating, authenticating Abraham out of your loins, out of that organ, you might say, I'm going to bring forth a nation, and I'm going to signify that through the act of circumcision. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Numbers 23:19. God is going to make good what he has said. And I've said for 30 years, Israel is God's master time clock. All you have to do is simply watch Israel. Now, I know there are those out there listening to me. You are anti-Semitic. You loathe, you despise, you hate Jewish people. I know of a particular lady whose daughter married a Jewish man, and she has such rancor, there's such acidity in her heart. She has malice and hatred, bitterness. You forget something. Everyone seems to forget one fact of Romans 11:25. Blindness in part has happened unto Israel. They are blind. Don't you understand what blindness means? You can't see. You don't know where you are. You can't see to do something because you're blind. But the prophecy said blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So they're going to remain blind up to the very second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ. That means God's going to deal with them in another way, and he's going to deal with the Gentile world up to that point. Look at what's happening. If you're not a Jew, you are a Gentile. There are two fundamental ethnicities in the earth, Jew or Gentile. That's it. I don't care if you're Japanese or Chinese or Korean or a German, whatever the case. God's laid out in his word what he's going to do. One of the great tragedies that has caused the modern church to become so inferior. I want to say that again. The greatest reason the church of the living God has become so inferior, so inept, so incompetent is because of one false teaching. We're all going to get out of here. God showed me nearly 30 years ago. He said, because they've embraced that doctrine, they don't go deeper in the scriptures. We're going to be out of here. We're going to be gone. So none of this Bible prophecy that God has given is not applicable to us. But see, that was a trick of the enemy to deceive people, to not thoroughly search the scriptures, to continue to dig deeper and deeper and deeper. We've quit digging deeper in the Word of God, and so we are insignificant. The church is inferior. when the church is supposed to be the power and manifestation of Jesus Christ, because the church is the body of Christ. Not the bride of Christ, but the church is the body of Christ. Read Ephesians 5. We are now flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. Secondly, he says Jerusalem becomes like an intoxicating drink. The whole world is about to get drunk because of what's going to take place in Israel. Zechariah 12 and verse 2 from our scripture text today. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege of both against Judah and against Jerusalem. God is going to suffer the world to become literally intoxicated with the events that are taking place there in that little bitty state called Israel. Israel. Let me share with you a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 51, verses 21 through 23. Therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord and thy God, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. You see, God gave Israel the cup of trembling. They trembled, they shuddered when Nebuchadnezzar came and seized Jerusalem, razed it, burned it down to the ground, and took all the holy vessels back to Babylon. This has been the process throughout the years. But in the time of the end, God says, I'm going to take that cup of trembling, that intoxicating cup. Remember, he says, he prefaces this by saying, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. You're going to stagger like a drunk man, but you'll not be drunk on wine, the effects of it. But what's going to happen physically in the natural is going to be as though you were drunk with wine. Verse 23, Isaiah 51, 23. But I will put into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over or trample over you. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. Look at through all the years since May the 14th, 1948. Look at the concessions that Israel has made for the Palestinians, for the Muslim world. Look. It was either 2005 or 2007, I don't remember now. They gave all of Gaza to the Palestinians. Where has it gotten them? Again, I sense in my spirit right now, there are those of you who loathe what I just said. It bristles you. It bristles you terribly. Why? Why does it bristle you? Because you have anti-Semitism. You're anti-Semitic. You hate Jewish people. You've listened to the rhetorical words. You've listened to the jargon that it's all the Jews that are destroying the world. Money, media, news, etc., etc. The truth is, you have two types of Jews. Most people don't understand that because they don't read their Bible thoroughly to seek out the truth. Remember in John chapter 8, when the Pharisees were arguing with Christ, and they said, we be Abraham's seed? Jesus said, I know you're Abraham's seed, But he said there in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. They were biologically the seed. They were biologically the seed of Abraham. But they were Ishmaelites. What a conundrum. Abraham is the father of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Think of what I just said. Abraham fathered Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. That is so far-reaching, it begs description. Galatians 3:29, if ye are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Now, this is a spiritual application, not biological there. But nevertheless, Abraham was called to be a Jew, a Hebrew. He has Ishmael. That was not the promise of God. But nevertheless, he did. Islam. And then Messiah came through the loins of the Jewish people, Christianity. It is sad. It is tragic. I heard a man the other day who is a preacher. He was castigating Israel. But yet he preaches from the Word of God. You need to understand, there would be no Bible had it not been for the Jewish people. This is the reason the malice and the hatred and the venom is off the charts, because this was God's choice. This was God's election. God reached out to a man named Abram. Leave your father, leave your land, come and follow me, walk by faith, I'll make covenant with you. And so he did. Romans 3, verses 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision? What profit is there in circumcision, Paul said. Verse 2, Romans 3, 2. Much every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Not one Gentile penned one Bible verse. Not one. All of Jewish descent. All. This is why Paul is asking this question to a Gentile church in Rome. Paul is saying, you ask me, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? Much every way chiefly. Why? Because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. We have the Word of God because of the Jewish people. We have the Bible because of the Jewish people. Every sermon that's ever been preached from the Word of God came from the Word of God that was given to the Jews. Martin Luther was a great anti-Semitic preacher. He eviscerated the Jewish people. Yet, we laud, we tout him as a great, great man of God because of Protestantism. He protested against Catholicism and came out of the harlot church, come out of her, my people. Yet he did not see the significance of what Israel was to the world. John 4:22, Jesus said to the woman, ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, he said. For salvation is of the Jews. There would be no redemption. There would be no forgiveness. There would be no reconciliation to the world had it not been for the Jewish people. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Joseph, both were from the tribe of Judah. God was making sure his son would be a king. Kings come from the tribe of Judah. But up to that point, it had always been through the Levitical tribe, the ministry faction, Levi, the Levites. You couldn't participate in any kind of temple faculties or ordinances. You had to be a Levite. The other 11 tribes were exempt. But see, Jacob prophesied that before he died in Genesis 49 to his sons. To his sons. Genesis 49, verse 9, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall ruse him up? The scepter. Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. Jesus will rule with a golden scepter. Shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. That's another word for Jesus Christ. Until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Let me just read verse 11. Binding the foal under the vine, and his ass's colt under the choice vine. You saw Jesus sent him to get that little foal, that little colt nobody had ever ridden. Binding his foal under the vine. The vine is Israel. And his ass's colt under the choice vine. I want to say it's in Psalms 89. David talked about a vine coming out of Egypt. That was God's chosen vine, Israel. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. That talks about the great tribulation in Revelation 14, when he shall tread the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. All that I declare unto you today comes from the word of the living God. It's not something I make up. It comes from God's word. Let me go back to Zechariah 12 now. Verse 3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. What is he saying there? Zechariah, through the Holy Ghost, is saying Israel will become an immovable rock. All the nations who are coming together to move the rock will only hurt themselves. No matter what they do, they will only hurt themselves. Now I want to look for just a few minutes at the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, verse 4 through 6. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. I was perusing this passage last week in my mind. And I thought, how ironic. Jesus begins the Olivet Discourse about one matter. He initiates this litany of things that are going to happen, takes us all the way to his second coming, but he initiates this prophecy by, take heed that no man deceive you. He didn't start out with wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences, famine, etc., etc. No. He started off with deception. Why? Why would you start off with deception? Because deception is Satan's greatest tool in this hour to destroy, to damn people. When you read Revelation chapter 20, after the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, Satan has been bound, chained, put into the bottomless pit. He's been falling for 1,000 years. The torment, the anxiety is waiting to hit the bottom. There's no pain, sorrow, suffering, and falling. It's anticipating the hit when you hit the earth or whatever. That's a torment. But the first thing the devil does after Jesus Christ has him released from the bottomless pit, the Bible says he goes out upon the breadth of the earth to deceive the nations. After having been bound, and I believe hand and foot, hogtied, that's my personal belief, he has no way to use his feet or his hands to try to negate the falling. He's just hogtied and falling for 1,000 years. But the first thing he does when he's released, he goes out upon the breadth of the earth to deceive the nations. That tells us, though he's been chained in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, his nature has not changed one minute at all. Not even remotely changed. He goes back to do what he's always done. That's to deceive people. Satan's greatest tool is deception. It's not drunkenness. It's not idolatry. It's not adultery. It's not fornication. It's not drugs. It's not stealing. It's not lying. It is deception. That is Satan's greatest tool. In the end, and that's why Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you by any means. Don't let it happen. Don't allow it to happen. And I've said it before and I will say it again. The greatest anomaly, is that deception. People who are deceived think they're right. They think they're utterly, absolutely right, but they're utterly, absolutely wrong. But they say, no, I'm right. That should cause fear to come upon your life, knowing the power of deception. Take heed that no man deceive you. Watch this, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. How many deceiving ministers and ministries out here will tell you in a heartbeat, Jesus is the Christ? They dare not say one word about sin. They will not preach against all the whoremonging that's going on in their churches, the adultery, the sodomy, mega churches singing homosexual songs in their worship services. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not going to compromise the gospel. I'm going to keep preaching God's word faithfully, no matter what the case, Many shall come in my name saying I am Christ and shall deceive many. Oh, I've told you so many times, when you read the word many in the scriptures, it's never a good application. It's always in a negative. Many shall come in my name saying I am Christ and shall deceive what? Many. Many. 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Matthew 7, 13, 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way, which leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Many are going the broad way, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Watch the word many. And we have many today that say they're saints of God, but they dare not live a godly life. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There are those out in the world who seek to deceive us, but Paul said they're also deceived. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Their goal, their motive, their modus operandi is to deceive you, all the while deceiving themselves in a far greater way. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They lie in wait to deceive. We're not to be children, Paul said, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. There's so many winds of doctrine today, it begs description. And because there are so many winds of doctrine, there are so many ways and means and modes and methods of being deceived. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Think of this. Jesus began Matthew 24 with the subject matter being deception. Through all those scriptures up to verse 24 in chapter 24, he's talking about perils and dangers and toils and snares that are going to come upon the earth. So in essence, he's closing out Matthew 24 with the thought, again, concerning deception. He begins with deception. He ends with deception. And then following that, he illuminates how things are going to transpire at his second coming. But let me go to Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. E.W. Bullinger, in his translation there says, it is impossible for the elect to become deceived. You walk with God. God will not allow, God will not tolerate, God will not suffer you to become deceived in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He will not let that come into your heart or your life in any way. But you have to be faithful. You have to be committed. You have to be dedicated. You have to be consecrated to Christ, the Son of God. You can't vacillate. He opens up Matthew 24. Take heed that no man deceive you. He closes in that phraseology, that element, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But thank God it is impossible to deceive the very elect. Satan will use any and everything he can to get people off of the straight and the narrow path. It is straight, it is narrow, and only a few are going to find that place in Christ, because you have to be completely, wholly sold out. People don't want to sell out today. They don't want to sell out. Well, I'm going to keep drinking my beer. I'm going to smoke my pot, and I'm going to do a little fornicating. I'm going to watch pornography. I'm going to lie just a little bit, and I'm going just a little bit of adultery. But I don't live like that all the time. Friend, this is not an hour to be compromised. This is not an hour to compromise. This is an hour to be diligent, be vigilant, be sober, 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 be sober to the hour. In the last 7 years, there have been more false teachings, false doctrine, false prophecies than ever before. In my nearly 69 years, I'll be 69 in February, I have never witnessed the plethora of false prophecies. I said it months ago, some of you may recall, it's like people need a prophecy fix. I don't believe God does that. We have the Word of God. We have a more sure word, not prophetic word, but the Word of the living God, because prophecies will fail. In the last, 4 or 5 years, I'm going to talk about Hamstrung tomorrow, because not everyone was able to see it or hear it on television. I put it on YouTube, but I want to make sure you hear this teaching on Hamstrung. But in the last 4 or 5 years, that's the only unction I've gotten from God about what's going on. And as I'm recording this radio program today, we don't still have a Speaker of the House. We're in trouble. And I keep remembering, rehearsing Revelation 17:17, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. He can touch Matt Gaetz and Nancy Mace and a few others and keep this thing at utter gridlock if he so wills. Keep us hamstrung. Oh, listen. We've seen nothing yet concerning this word the Lord gave me on September the 21st, on a Thursday morning. Hamstrung. He said, America is about to become hamstrung. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I'll share the scriptures. I'll go through it again. I feel the urgency and the need. But I'm telling you, we've already moved 2 aircraft carrier fleets to the Mediterranean. The USS Gerald Ford and the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower. Folks, we're about to enter in, possibly, to a third world war. I've said for years, I can't say which comes first, civil war or world war. But the way things are going, they could be spontaneous at the same time. Could be spontaneous at the same time. I believe in my heart, I haven't gotten a word, but I believe in my heart, America wants a world war. Why? They're never going to pay back the $33 trillion. We are up to our eyebrows in debt. And nobody wants to cut the spending. Isn't it amazing how you see very little video now of what's going on in Ukraine, but you're going to see everything going on in Israel. And there's a reason behind that. They don't want you to know what's going on in Ukraine. They don't want you to know where these billions upon billions upon billions of dollars are going. They don't want you to know. But they want you to know the barbarity of what Israel will do. Israel is going to obliterate, annihilate, and raze Gaza. There'll be nothing left. There will be nothing left. When Israel gets through, the world is going to be in an absolute rage. Stop this. Stop this heinous of humanity killing, 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 killing. I listened to an Israeli soldier the other day. They saw a woman. She had been shot 40 to 50 times in the face. He said it did not look like a human being. The evisceration, the decapitation, the things they were doing, they saw what they thought was a baby. But through thorough and greater examination, it was a body part. It was just tore all to pieces. This is what Hamas wants. By the way, I think it's 2554 or 2555, and the Strong Exhaustive Concordance, it's spelled C-H-A-M-A-S. In the Hebrew, it means violence. Hamas. Violence. The transliteration is the C is silent. C-H-A-M-A-S. They don't use the C. You just hear them say Hamas. And their very name means violent or violence. They're telling you who they are. As Israel goes in to extrapolate, Benjamin Netanyahu said, every man of Hamas is a dead man. They're going to kill him. It's already been said this is the equivalent. If you take the 7 to 8 million people that live in Israel, you take the 300 and some million in America, what happened over there in that one day would be like losing nearly 50,000 people in America in one day. Percentage-wise, that's the gravity of what happened. You've heard the stories. I've read the stories. You've read some of the stories. They video the decapitation, the evisceration of their captives, and then on the captive's phone, they do this, and then send the video to the parents or to a loved one. Mental torment, pain, anguish, and sorrow. See, God is allowing all of this to happen. But in the end, he says, I'm going to take the cup of trembling out of your hand, Israel. I'm going to put it into the hands of your enemies. They're going to be the ones that tremble in the end. The barbarity is unthinkable, unspeakable, immeasurable. The president of Turkey, Erdogan, already says Israel is creating a massacre. Well, what did they do, Hamas, do on Saturday when they came in there? What are we now, 25 plus Americans killed and, I don't know, nearly 20 hostages? Did you know Pakistan has said, we're going to support the Palestinians? Pakistan has nuclear weapons, folks. I had a dream. I've not shared it publicly. A week after the Lord gave me the word hamstrung. I'm going to sit on that word a little longer. I'm apprehensive to share the dream. But the dream that I had is not good. It is absolutely not good. I'm not a fear monger. I would never incite fear. I don't want you to be fearful. I want you to be as sober as you can be. I want you to be as alert as you can be. I want you to be close to God during this time. I'm going to say something that will offend some of you. I would quit listening to these yahoos who are not spiritual, who are not spiritually feeding you, ministering to you, or advocating and appropriating the Word of God. Quit listening to all the jargon, the rhetoric, and things that are of no significance. Quit listening to it. Take that time. Spend it with God. Spend it on your knees. Spend it while you're head is buried in the Word of the living God. Get close to God. Once the ground invasion begins, and by the time you hear this today, it should have already begun. Once the ground invasion begins, I don't believe, I could be wrong, I just barely missed the Vietnam War. I got out of high school, I was classified 1A, meant if my number was drawn, I was gone. But Richard Nixon stopped the war, and that ended that part of potential aspect of my life going to war. The barbarity is going to be so heinous when they show you video of what Israel has done in Gaza, people won't believe it. Now, as you know, I've been working on this book from the time Christ puts his feet down at the Mount of Olives until we go into eternity. I'm trying to put a timeline, a sequence to lay all of this out to help people understand. But I believe in this ground invasion of Gaza is a prelude to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 13. Let me share that with you. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 13. Now, this speaking directly during the Battle of Armageddon up to the very moment Christ puts his feet down at the Mount of Olives. But here's what's going to be happening. Then you're going to see a measure of that now in this war in Gaza with Israel raising the place. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 13, "And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. They shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor." What does that mean? I'll make it just as simple and precise. It is hand-to-hand combat. Killing each other with their hands, stabbing each other, cutting their heads off, taking their bayonets and thrusting it through them. There'll be no ammunition. They will have run out. But the rage will be so great, it'll be hand-to-hand combat there in the end. Yoav Gallant is the Minister of Defense for Israel. He said last week, there will be no tribunals. There will be no war crimes. Israel will not be suffered to be charged with anything. We're going in there and we're going to clean house. No ifs, ands, and buts about it whatsoever. None. This has gone from a state of sorrow and grief to rage. Rage. And the world will also shudder, not only by what Israel is going to do, but Hamas are going to have embedded snipers. They will have set booby traps, RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades. They will have set landmines, IEDs, improvised explosive devices. There will be things used in this urban warfare that maybe some are not even aware of as of yet, but they will be used. Let me wind down today. America's in a proxy war with Russia in Ukraine. As I said a few moments ago, we have the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower and the USS Gerald Ford in the Mediterranean Sea right now. America's military might has dwindled. Most everything I've read through the last decade says we cannot handle but only two theaters of war. We are in a proxy war in Ukraine, indirectly. We're over now in the Middle East, and by the time of this recording, when you hear it, we could be in war with Iran, Syria, Lebanon. I believe if we get involved in the Middle East, China will make their move on Taiwan. And ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, you have World War III. The sleeper cells are in America. Let me say that again in closing. The sleeper cells of Hamas, Hezbollah, Chinese, et cetera, they are in America. I say in closing today, get your house in order. Top off your preparations. Whatever you've been prepping, whatever you're doing, fill it to the brim. Get ready. Don't move in fear. You do your part. God will make up the difference. Let me say to everyone that is people of prayer, that tithe and give, you can rest assured God will take care of you because you've been faithful. To those of you who do not pray and do not give and support God's work, I don't know how God will help you because you reap what you sow. This is not an appeal for money. I'm telling you, get ready. I humbly admonish you in the name of Jesus, get ready, get prepared. Nearly 8 million people have come into America since Biden took the office. 8 million people. That is the size of the state of Arizona, the size of the state of South Carolina, and Ohio. When you bring that many people in, where's the schools, the hospitals, the highways, the cars, the infrastructure, the utilities, et cetera, where's all that coming from? It's not here. Why then are these people here? Some of them are here to war against us. 50+ thousand people have come from terrorist states. Terrorist states. Hezbollah is here. Hamas, I think it's either Hamas or Hezbollah, is working with the Mexican cartel. Remember, Israel's the little Satan. America's the big Satan. What do you think is truly going on? And if we get into it with China over Taiwan, China will not send another container ship to America's shores with all the stuff that we buy. I invite you to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove and say, God, show me what I need to do. Show me. Help me. Psalms 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries. Psalms 50:15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalms 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Folks, quit enamoring yourself with all this alien junk. There are no aliens. It's fallen angels and demons. That's all this is. That's all this is. If you're not careful, you're going to be deceived because you're listening to all these jacklegs talking about stuff that is insignificant, irrelevant. Cast your lot wholly with Christ. Cast in everything that you have in Jesus Christ. Those of you who have listened to me, I've never been a man that was flippant when it comes to the Word of God or when I come to this microphone. I'm a sincere, dedicated, consecrated minister. I like to have fun. I like to laugh. I like to cut up. I like to have a good time with everybody else. This is a serious time. This is a very, very serious time. If I stirred fear in your heart, forgive me. I try to be a realist. I try to be a biblicist. I try to tell you the truth. Tomorrow, I'm going to share with you the word the Lord gave me, hamstrung. I want you to understand what God gave me. I aired it back-to-back weeks on the television ministry, yet some may not have seen or heard it. I think it's important to hear what the Lord has to say. I say that with the greatest of humility. I don't often hear much from God in that manner. But I do know when I hear, because I hear it so few times. I know when I hear what I hear from God. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great evening in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.